This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run on this lovely Monday morning, the 28th of March. I'm Shazana with Xiaoning and Chen Li. Now, last Thursday, Reda Institute, a research house linked to the Real Estate Housing Developers Association, released a report on how to make houses more affordable to buyers. Now, according to the report, government-imposed regulations on developers to control prices may not actually be the best approach and, in fact, could backfire. This is because tight regulations have apparently driven developers to raise prices to cover the cost of complying with it.
The Institute estimates that if compliance costs are halved, home prices can decline by 9 to 16% on average in the strata and township development, respectively. The report also showed that home prices have gone up an average of 10% annually in the last decade, from around 218,000 ringgit in 2010 to around 428,000 ringgit in third quarter of 2021. With average household income in 2020 at around 7,000 ringgit a month, this makes home ownership beyond reach for many. But is reducing compliance costs the only way to reduce home prices, and what else can be done to make developers price their products at a more reasonable level?
So for some thoughts on this, we have with us on the line Michael Kong, president of PEPS Malaysia. PEPS Malaysia stands for Association of Valuers, Property Managers, Estate Agents, and Property Consultants in the Private Sector of Malaysia. That is a mouthful. I think PEPS Malaysia is a much snappier name. Michael, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So can I get your reactions to the Reda Institute proposal? Do you think that a push by the government to impose regulations on developers would just backfire in trying to control prices?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm a strong believer that compulsion is never the best option to resolve any issues. First of all, developers are in the business of building homes with a view of making a profit. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the business in the first place. By enforcing rulings or regulations that would hamper the natural course of business goes against the theories of economics and would often backfire. At the end of the day, if government regulations make it difficult for developers to survive in the market, eventually we would have lesser players and consequently lesser supply of homes.
So my question then is related to just what you said. So do you think that the imbalance between the demand and supply of the housing market is actually in a way a creation of the developers themselves, perhaps building too much in the wrong location and then pricing it wrongly as well?
Yeah, you see, I think there should be a study on the actual stock and actual demand of affordable housing rather than just pushing the developers to build more and more affordable housing. We need to take stock. What is the demand before we actually force the developer or make them build more?
So in terms of the high cost of houses, right, is it true that what Reda's report is suggesting is actually due to compliance cost? Or is there other reasons to it?
It is partly true. However, compliance cost is only a fraction of the whole development cost, which includes land cost, infrastructure cost, building cost, finance, legal fees, as well as marketing fees. Compliance cost consists of standard contributions to various authorities, such as TNB, IWK, DID, Shabas, amongst others. In addition to all this, there are also the town planning policies and compliance, which will add on to the development, the cost of the development, such as enforcement of road and infrastructural improvement, provision of green space, and provision of car parks. All these would add on to the development cost.
But as a developer, right, before you start on a project, wouldn't you have done all this, taken into account all these assumptions and then come up with what would be the pricing? And if you know the market and you know that the pricing, you know, people can't afford it, then why pursue the project? Then it doesn't make sense, isn't it? Because we're talking about free market here.
Yeah, that is why, you know, most developers are not really interested in building affordable housing. But again, you know, the government policies insist that they build affordable housing as part of the whole development.
But that's only a certain percentage of a development, right? Let's say build a whole township. There is a requirement to build affordable housing.
Correct.
But it's less than, 20%? So you still can make money from the balance of the 80%.
Well, I suppose so. But then again, you know, the interest in building affordable housing is not really there, you know, because private developers are out there to make money.
Okay, so you say that private developers are not motivated to provide affordable housing anyway. For me, that just means that there is a reason that just gives incentive for the government to give them incentives to invest in affordable housing development then, because they're obviously not going to do it on their own.
Yeah, to give them incentives, yes. You know, you have to find ways to incentivize them to provide affordable housing, because it's barely making any profit, you know, if you're just there to build affordable housing, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so let's bring this conversation back home. So if it's just affordable housing, and that is what the gap is in the market, how then do you think the government can actually make things or get developers to get on this bandwagon and build it? Would one suggestion be providing the land, for example, and allowing these developers or asking actually contractors to build it at a fixed margin then?
That could be one way, you know, because land cost is part of the development cost. And if you're able to the state provide the land and then the developers come in and just do a JV with them, that is also one option.
But what about, let's say, in general, like if you go back to that conversation about township development, are you suggesting, because the radar report says if you just reduce the compliance cost, then, you know, basically it's possible. But then when we look at some of the listed company developers, they are still earning healthy margins, right? So what is the issue here in terms of the compliance cost being too onerous then?
Well, compliance cost is, like what I said, is only part of the, you know, it's a fraction. It's a fraction of the development cost. What I believe is the government should make these policies more transparent, consistent, and more certain in order to reduce the risk that the developers would take. If you are able to reduce the risk, then the developers' expected return will be lower. Then they would be able to price the end product lower as well.
But what about the rising cost of building materials and also labor shortage issue? What kind of impact would they have on the property prices? Like now we have all these rise of prices. Are they going to price it in and make houses more expensive for us?
Well, obviously, rising costs of building materials and shortage of labor would have a direct impact on the pricing of the end product. Cost increase would lead to price increase. That is a logical result, as no developers would sell at a loss. One solution is to adopt the IBS system, which would negate the labor shortage issue. But so far, developers are slow to adopt this because the IBS system requires a large economy of scale to make it viable.
So I'm just curious, what is your outlook on the property market then for the rest of 2022?
I'm quite optimistic. I believe the market would gradually improve for the rest of 2022. Banks have also shown renewed interest in property loans and more aggressive lending to the housing sector. I personally feel that the market has hit rock bottom and is slated to rebound. So the time to buy is now. But having said that, the property market is not homogeneous. It is location-centric and sectoral-based. So certain sectors would do well and certain sectors may not do well, and also depends on location as well.
Michael, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Michael Kong, president of PEPS Malaysia, giving a reaction to the report by the Reda Institute on how much compliance costs really contribute to the overall price of the house. I think he did make the point that compliance costs are actually a small fraction of the entire cost, which makes me wonder whether focusing on that is rather a red herring, yeah, when it comes to affordable pricing.
Yeah, so let's look at it holistically. You've got people just building affordable housing. That's just one project. Then you have affordable housing as a larger township requirement, which the government, state governments, and this is land is a state matter, right? So it varies from state to state, as part of the township development approval. Now, if you ask me, if you're a township developer and you considered this affordable housing, I don't see why you didn't factor that into the total costing of the project, right? So if you're not making money on it, maybe it's just bad assumptions when it comes to financial plan. You know, what assumptions are you making?
I'm actually not sure if you're really not making money or just making less money.
Yeah. Some people claim they're not making money, but when I look at some of the listed companies, of course, they have lots of different developments within their project base, and it's still making money. And if you're not making money, don't embark on the project, right? And the markets correct itself. It's demand and supply.
7:59 in the morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.